Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you on this Friday, November 5th, as we welcome a guest to the podcast. Today we have reading for us Emma Hester. Emma is a teenager in our church and she and her family are members here. Thank you, Emma, for joining us today and for reading for the podcast.
Thank you for having me today. Our first reading for today is Acts 13, 1 through 12. Now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. The two of them, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in their Jewish synagogues. John was with them as their helper. They traveled through the whole island until they came to Paphos. There they met a Jewish sorcerer and false prophet named Bar-Jesus, who was an attendant of the proconsul Sergius Paulus. The proconsul, an intelligent man, sent from Barnabas and Saul because he wanted to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for that is what his name means, opposed them and tried to turn the proconsul from their faith. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked straight at Elymas and said, "You are a child of the devil and an enemy of everything that is right. You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Will you ever stop perverting the right ways of the Lord? Now the hand of the Lord is against you. You are going to be blind for a time, not even able to see the light of the sun." Immediately mist and darkness came over him, and he groped about, seeking someone to lead him by the hand. When the proconsul saw what had happened, he believed, for he was amazed at the teaching about the Lord. Now let's read from Psalm 7. A Shagayan of David, which he sang to the Lord concerning Cush, a Benjamite. Lord my God, I take refuge in you. Save and deliver me from all who pursue me, or they will tear me apart like a lion and rip me to pieces with no one to rescue me. Lord my God, if I have done this and there is guilt on my hands, if I have repaid my ally with evil or without cause have robbed my foe, then let my enemy pursue and overtake me. Let him trample my life to the ground and make me sleep in the dust. Arise, Lord, in your anger. Rise up against the rage of my enemies. Awake, my God, decree justice. Let the assembled peoples gather around you, while you sit enthroned over them on high. Let the Lord judge the peoples. Vindicate me, Lord, according to my righteousness, according to my integrity, O Most High. Bring to an end the violence of the wicked and make the righteous secure. You, the righteous God, who probes minds and hearts. My shield is God Most High, who saves the upright in heart. God is a righteous judge, a God who displays his wrath every day. If he does not relent, he will sharpen his sword. He will bend and string his bow. He has prepared his deadly weapons. He makes ready for his flaming arrows. Whoever is pregnant with evil conceives trouble and gives birth to disillusionment. Whoever digs a hole and scoops it out falls into the pit they have made. The trouble they cause recoils on them. Their violence comes down on their own heads. I will give thanks to the Lord because of his righteousness. I will sing the praises of the name of the Lord Most High. Now let's turn to Ezra chapter 9. After these things had been done, the leaders came to me and said, "The people of Israel, including the priests and the Levites, have not kept themselves separate from the neighboring peoples with their detestable practices, like those of the Canaanites, Hittites, Perizzites, Jebusites, Ammonites, Moabites, Egyptians, and Amorites. They have taken some of their daughters as wives for themselves and their sons, and have mingled the holy race with the peoples around them. And the leaders and officials have led the way in this unfaithfulness." When I heard this, I tore my tunic and cloak, pulled hair from my head and beard and sat down appalled. Then everyone who trembled at the words of God of Israel gathered around me because of the unfaithfulness of the exiles, and I sat there appalled until this evening sacrifice. Then at the evening sacrifice, I rose from my self-abasement with my tunic and cloak torn, and fell on my knees with my hands spread out the Lord my God and prayed. I am too ashamed and disgraced, my God, to lift up my face to you, because our sins are higher than our heads and our guilt has reached to the heavens. From the days of our ancestors until now, our guilt has been great. Because of our sins, we and our kings and our priests have been subjected to the sword and captivity, to pillage and humiliation at the hand of our foreign kings, as it is today. But now, for a brief moment, the Lord our God has been gracious in leaving us a remnant and giving us a firm place in his sanctuary. And so our God gives light to our eyes and a little relief in our bondage. Though we are slaves, our God has not forsaken us in our bondage. He has shown us kindness in the sight of the kings of Persia. He has granted us new life to rebuild the house of our God and repair its ruins. And he has given us a wall of protection in Judah and Jerusalem. But now, our God, what can we say after this? For we have forsaken the commands you gave through your servants, the prophets, when you said, "The land you are entering to possess is a land polluted by the corruption of its peoples. By their detestable practices, they have filled it with their impurity from one end to the other. Therefore, do not give your daughters in marriage to their sons or take their daughters for your sons. Do not seek a treaty of friendship with them at any time, that you may be strong and eat the good things of the land and leave it to your children as an everlasting inheritance." What has happened to us is a result of our evil deeds and our great guilt. And yet, our God, you have punished us less than our sins deserve and have given us a remnant like this. Shall we then break your commands again and intermarry with the peoples who commit such detestable practices? Would you not be angry enough with us to destroy us, leaving us no remnant or survivor? Lord, the God of Israel, you are righteous. We are left this day as a remnant. Here we are before you in our guilt, though because of it, not one of us can stand in your presence.
Thank you so much, Emma, for joining the podcast today and for reading for us. I want you to tell us a little bit about yourself and your family.
Yes, I am 15 years old and I go to Mountain Brook High School. I live with my mom, Katie Hester, and my dad, Bobby Hester, and my brother, who's 3 years younger than me, Brewer Hester.
Now, I know you have a lot of cousins and family in the church. Tell me more about that.
Yes. My grandmother is Leslie Mapes, and my grandfather's Frank Mapes, and they have three children, Ross, Chandler, and Katie. Katie's my mother. Chandler is my mom's sister, who has Lila, Amelia, and Lydia Kelly, and is married to Eric Kelly. And my uncle, Ross Mapes, is married to Kelly Mapes and has a little baby. He is 16 months old, Frank Mapes.
There are so many questions I want to ask, but first, I just want to know, do you have any hobbies or interests?
Yes, I mountain bike. I'm on the Mountain Brook bike team, and I like to horseback ride in my free time.
Mountain biking, that sounds exciting. Tell me a little bit about how you got into it and what it means to be on the team.
Mountain biking, I got into it right around when COVID hit. My family started biking together as a family, and my brother had a bike accident, and people were talking about it, and we heard news of this Mountain Brook bike team that's associated with NYCA. It's a kids, like, skate grades 6 through 12 biking league. So I'm going to be joining the team, the only girl on the team, but yeah.
Today, Eleanor Grace is helping me as my engineer, so she also had a question for Emma.
What's your favorite subject?
My favorite subject in school is probably geometry and algebra. I know that's definitely not some people's favorite, but that's probably my best subject and one I enjoy.
Recently, when we were hanging out, you mentioned something about your diversity, and this is a word I had never heard. I knew that you have type 1 diabetes, but you explained to me what a diversity is, and also we've talked some about your journey with diabetes. Would you share some with those who are listening on the podcast?
Yes, my diversity is the day that I got diagnosed. I got diagnosed 2 weeks into kindergarten, September 6, 2011. So I have been living with diabetes for about 10 years now. On that day, I'll do something special with my mom or my friends just to make it a happy day. You know, I don't try to make it a gloomy day because diabetes has given me so many opportunities in my life that I'm very thankful for.
Now, I know your family does a walk for diabetes sometimes, and also you've been to a camp. Tell me more.
Yes, I go to Camp Solharis. It's a camp for kids with diabetes. I like it because everybody's like me. They have diabetes and you learn so much about your body and how to take care of it. We have a walk to raise money to send kids to camp.
And I want to hear a little bit about how you manage your diabetes.
So I have an insulin pump that constantly gives me insulin when I need it. And I have a sensor that will read my blood sugar for me so I don't have to check my blood sugar as much. I'm not going to lie, sometimes it gets quite annoying, but I'm so thankful that I got diagnosed when I did because so much technology has come out for me to handle it and learn how to handle it as I'm growing up.
One question I love to ask is how you came to faith. Tell me about that journey.
Yes, I've always grown up in church. I got baptized when I was 11, maybe. But I think in this past year, I've really understood what it really means to be a Christian and follow the Lord.
I guess just a follow-up question. How have you realized more in this past year? How has the Lord been working mightily in your life?
The Lord has been working in my life by bringing me people who follow Him and who are big role models in my life. I've been praying for a friend group that loves the Lord, and He's provided that for me. We have a Bible study, and I'm really thankful that He brought that to me because I feel like I'm more consistent in being in the Word and associated with Him.
Just a follow-up question there. Is there a passage in Scripture that is one of your favorites?
In Matthew 18, the parable of the unmerciful servant, it's about how the king forgave a servant and the servant turned around and didn't forgive another person. And it just reminds me of how, you know, God gives us so much forgiveness. So we should turn around and give forgiveness to others like He forgave us.
Emma, thank you so much for joining us today. Would you end our time together with prayer?
Yes. Dear Lord, thank you for this day and this opportunity you have given me. I pray that you will open up our eyes in your word. We love you. Amen.